Hey, everybody, and welcome to True Stories of Tinseltown. I haven't done one of these in 2 whole weeks, and I am so happy. It felt so good to be with my equipment, and now I am with my favorite fellow and guest. No offense to any other guest out there. I love you all very, very much. David Selby. How are you, my love?
Hello. Hello. I am fine. It's just wonderful to be able to have a chat.
Yes, I'm thrilled. And because last time when we were talking, you didn't realize what time it was and you had to go, oh, gotta go. But we had a wonderful talk. We went into your past and stuff. Okay, I have to just say this first, and I'm torturing David along with my listeners. Yes, people, this is, I told you I'm going to have 1.5 spooktaculars. This is my half spooktacular because I don't think we're going to talk about scary stuff throughout this. So that's why I call it a half spooktacular. So you know what that means. Yeah. How appropriate. I know I drive people crazy, but I can't help it. It's the only time I get to do that stuff is when I do my spooktaculars. And what a spooktacular guest I have. David Selby.
Right? Yeah. He's scary, all right.
No, I was just reading stuff about you and then how you got cast on Dark Shadows. You all love David from so many things, but you've got millions of new fans yearly, literally. You don't know how many places, if you looked on the internet, and our friend, the one you talked to, I'm blinking on your name, you know who I'm talking about, and we love you. She came on and asked you a couple questions, and she just started a new David Selby page on Facebook for you. So, I mean, you are pops, buddy. You are totally pops. Yes. Okay. So I was reading today. I just browsed your IMDb. Tall, darkly handsome. What is it called? Serious, darkly handsome and tall. 6'3". Are you 6'3"?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. We've got to meet. I can wear my heels. I never wear my heels anymore. There's nowhere to go. Bummer. Anyway, so you're doing well. And it's sad that you, because Dark Shadows was your first gig, and you played evil in the beginning.
I played what?
Evil. I'm doing.
Oh, evil.
My
evil.
Vincent Price, he says evil when he does his things. Yes.
Dark Shadows, it wasn't my first gig, but
acting gig,
television. What did you say?
It was your first TV gig, though.
TV. I guess it was. I remember doing a thing. There was a composer named Earl Wild, and he composed a thing I did. But I may have been already doing Dark Shadows. It was a It was a musical. ABC had a show called ABC Directions back in those days. I think it came on in the daytime, Sunday afternoon or whatever. Mm-hmm. And Earl was a great
MC,
concert pianist.
Oh, he was a pianist.
Yeah. He was Earl Wild was terrific, and he. I ran into him at ABC, and he says, "Hey, I got this musical about young Abe Lincoln." So. I don't think I did that around the same time as Dark Shadows. I just can't remember.
Wow. But, so you did it.
It was nothing like Dark Shadows.
No, of course not. And it's so ironic that you did it first thing in your career. And now you're still doing Honest Abe. And I want to ask you questions about that later. That's great.
Dark Shadows. Yeah. That was the first.
Were you nervous when you first went to the set?
I went to the set. Well, actually, it was a lady, I'm going to write something about this because of a question, and that's what I wanted to title the thing I'm going to write. but her name was Marion Dougherty.
Mm-hmm.
And Marion was a casting director. Tell me if I'm repeating myself.
I don't remember that. No.
Which I probably am. Anyway, she was a top, the main casting director, as far as I knew, in New York City at that time. And she had brought a lot of people from, or several people from stage, and put them in television and film.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very lucky to be able to meet her when I... it was the first little thing that my agency, at that time, I hadn't even signed with the agency, but they sent me down, said, there's somebody we want you to meet. They're doing a television show, and they said Dark Shadows, and they said Joan Bennett was in it, and I didn't know anything about Dark Shadows, but I knew about Joan Bennett. So, anyway, I did go down in the East 30s to meet Marion down there, and... one of the things she asked me, she said, where have you been?
Oh, and that's that really nice.
That made me smile and laugh, and I've thought about that over the years. And I remember because I wrote it down.
Oh, that'd be a great name for your book. Is that what you're going to use as a title? It. Where have you been?
That's
perfect.
The title, Where Have You Been? And anyway, so what Marion did, I may have... I don't know. But anyway, she put me in a cab, you know, paid for the cab fare. She went with me up to meet the man who created Dark Shadows, Dan Curtis.
Who created a lot of other things later on.
Yeah, and I went in, and she introduced me and everything. And so I went back and did a little scene for him with a scene partner that I had out of a... acting class. His name was Wynn Hanman.
Yes.
Wynn just passed away.
Oh, he did. I remember. I thought you were going to come. Yeah, he was going to have a thing.
Yeah. But Wynn was
wonderful.
I did talk to him on the phone.
Good.
Not that long before he passed. So, anyway, the extra was that I met Dan Curtis, and they asked me to come over to the studio. It was on West 53rd Street. And they would look at me on camera. And so that's what I did. Again, Marion was there. And I turned this way and turned that way.
Without mutton chops?
On the camera. Never said a word. But I don't know. Somehow out of that, they said they offered me the job. And I had no idea what it was. And, of course,
they didn't say you're going to be a werewolf. That's what they said.
No, they didn't say anything about that. And they didn't tell me that I wouldn't be speaking for the first several episodes.
No. You just had this maniacal laugh. Can you do that for our spectacular? Do you remember your
mind? I still have it.
Anyway,
that was the beginning of that. And
yes, you haunted the children.
I did what?
You haunted the children.
I haunted the children. Ah, that's right. David and Denise.
Yes.
That's right. But anyway, out of that, and all these years later, the reason why, and in fact, this coming Halloween, one of the Dark Shadows alum, Catherine Scott.
She's so great. I've had her on the show, Catherine Lee Scott. She's fab.
Yeah, and anyway, she sent me a notice the other day and said, why don't we do a, you know, something for the fans, and, you know, and anyway, the upshot was we finally decided that a Halloween show would be good. We'll just do it. A bunch of us gathered around like a it'll be a Zoom thing.
How much fun is that going to be?
Moderated. So that's what we're going to do this coming Halloween.
And time, do you know yet?
the time? No, it'll be in the evening.
Well, you let me know when that is, and then I'll post that so that everybody
all
can
right.
get that. But, you know,
okay.
I know I want to see it. And Catherine is, like, really good. And so Laura wrote tons of books, Laura Parker Angelique. She wrote tons
yes.
of books to keep going on
yes.
and
yes.
voice on tape. But, I mean, it's a phenomenon like you wouldn't believe, right?
That's why you want to go back. There are a lot of new fans,
yes.
old fans, new fans.
They love you. They love the show.
I just wanted to say thank you for hanging in there all these years. And I'm so glad because it was those fans and their really...
Loyalty.
You know, made
loyal.
The show.
They are the loyal, yeah. loyal fans like you would not believe. And like I said... my friend, you know who I'm talking about. I'm blanking. I don't know why I'm blanking. But she invited me to the new David Selby page. And, I mean, there's tons. I mean, you're like a heartthrob still. You're still in Tiger Beat on Facebook, Tiger Beat magazine. So,
yeah.
You know, David, did you think you were not going to do anything? Did you think you were never going to speak? You were just going to have to do a maniacal laugh?
Well, no, but I didn't know. I had no idea. I was completely in the dark about that.
And they had you fiendish looking. You had like this dark makeup around your eyes. And then when you came on and you were not the fiend, I was like, growl, 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 cat's meow. I was.
No, my only trepidation about all that, not speaking, as I said, the joke was, well, when I do talk, they won't want to listen.
You have a great voice. No, it was better than your maniacal laugh. Yes. And you and Joan hit it off. You were pals.
Yes, yes.
I love her. I thought she was a wonderful actress. I really did.
She was wonderful.
Was she? And she was one.
Sister Constance. And
yes.
Her father was an actor.
Yes.
I believe his name was Richard. Yes. And anyway... Yes, Joan was a special, special person.
Did you know that she got blacklisted? Did she tell you about that?
Oh, yes.
That incident involving her husband and the agent and that.
Yes.
Her husband just was a producer. He went on and on and on and on. I've said this on my page. The husband confronted Joan and her agent, and the husband shot the guy in the groin region. But he didn't get any jail time or anything. And Joan... got totally, you know, blacklisted. Not all
blacklisted,
the way.
But
he did not. His career just went zoom flying up in the sky. Now, if that happened, Joan's career would have zoomed up in the sky too. You know what I mean? Today.
I remember, there was a wonderful friend of Joan's at that time, a very good actress, Jane Greer.
Oh, I love her.
Jane was wonderful, and Jane told me the story how... when all that happened, Joan called her and said, we got to go down to the police station. So Jane went with her, and Joan was concerned about how they were going to keep it out of the papers. And, of course, there was no way. You mentioned, how Joan was blacklisted.
Right.
Or, you know, at that time, whatever.
For a few years. Her name was Mudd.
Humphrey Bogart was her dear friend, and he's the one that came forward, and she worked with him right away after that in a film. So I always thought, you know, how special that must have been.
I know, and I love Jane Greer. You met her,
yeah.
Huh? She was a noir dame.
Oh, yeah.
You ever see her in any of her movies?
No, she came on the Falcon Crest.
She did. She was really, she was a dish.
Yeah.
And she did a lot of film noirs. And she was married to Rudy Valley. Do you know who he is?
I know who he is. I used to know where his house was.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, he was a little kinkster. I don't want to, I did spill on that because this is a true story because it was Joan. Eddie Muller from TCM wrote this wonderful book about noir dames, and he interviewed what's her name? Jane Greer. Jane Greer. And She was married to Rudy when she was about 17. He liked the young girls. I think even younger. She was singing in a band. And she had Howard Hughes after her, too. Who wasn't he after? Which is really gross when you think about it. I mean, really? Yeah. You know? Yuck. And anyway, she wrote a little bit about our little Rudy.
Yeah.
That you wouldn't look at him the same way. He was a kinky boy. Yes.
Yeah.
Not like his image.
But after I met Joan, and you know, we got along well, and you know, she invited us up to their house, and you know, we had dinner or whatever. She had mentioned about you know, what had happened.
Right. That was a huge thing.
In fact, Louise, what was Louise last? Louise, back in those days, she was, I don't know, she was got in trouble for possession of marijuana.
Oh, Lila Leeds. Lila Leeds. And she got arrested with Robert Mitchum.
Well, this was, I can't remember her name.
Louise Brooks?
Anyway, and Joan said, well, just look at that. If what had happened to me happened today, no one would think anything about it.
No, exactly. And she would get a Louise Lasser, lady, not a lady from classic Hollywood, but sort of classic Hollywood now, but later, Louise Lasser, yes.
Yeah.
No, Joan, and especially today, she would get her own reality show. You know, she would be teaching target practicing. She would be doing all this stuff. You know how it is today.
Joan was a very classy.
She was lovely and elegant. She was
woman.
So pretty. And who did you mostly work with? You worked a lot with Joan. You worked with Barnabas.
You mean on that show?
Right. Who were your most people that your acting partners that you acted mostly with?
Oh, my goodness. I don't know. Virginia, let's see. Well, there was Virginia Westhoff. She was on that show for a while. Basically, the main people, Grayson Hall.
Oh, I loved her. Loved her.
Great.
Well, wasn't her husband a casting director or a producer or director or something?
No, Sam was a writer.
Ah, writer. I knew he was something.
Sam Hall was the writer of the show. One of those writers, Gordon Russell, was another one. Excuse me. No, she was terrific. Very, you know, very, very special person. I was trying to think of the other, well, Catherine Scott, I worked with Laura Parker.
Yes, that was so funny. In that one, you came back, and you know she's following Barnabas through generations, and then she sees you, and she's like, "See you, Barnabas. I'll let you go if you get me him." Well, you fickle 100 years trollop, you. Yeah. You know, hundreds and hundreds of years. You're changing this man, but I don't blame her. If I saw you two, I would have gone. Okay, come on, Barnabas. I'll make you a deal. Him for you. Are you for him? One of those. I don't blame her. But the show was funny.
But I had dear friends on that show. One of my dearest, of course, was Johnny Carlin.
And he just died not too long ago. Yeah. I loved
him. And John
him.
And I became great friends right from the very beginning.
Down to earth, right? Just funny New Yorker.
Yeah, he was terrific and a very good actor.
He was. I loved him.
Theater. Loved theater. He did a lot of theater in those days. And then who else came on then? Jim Storm.
Who was Jim Storm?
Chris Pennick. They were actors on the show. Jim Storm's brother, what was his name? He was on a daytime show back in those days.
Jim Storm and Martin Rain?
No. Anyway, I can't remember.
What was your favorite thing? Because when you became a werewolf, because this guy, I think he was Roger Smith, and he was once married to Jacqueline Smith.
Roger Davis.
Roger Davis, yes, him. And I heard that he wasn't really liked because he was like, what's my motivation and all this stuff. And you don't have time to have what's your motivation when you're doing a daytime soap opera every frigging day. So he's drawing pictures and your girlfriend, one of the women, I think she's Donna McKechnie. You fall in love with her, but she's not really a person because he drew her. And if he erased her, she wouldn't be there. So he was drawing you as a werewolf and you were going on a rampage, but your werewolf was like, you're like 6'3" and your werewolf is about 5'3". So I was like, my goodness, why does his werewolf shrink so much?
I don't know anything about all that.
That was funny. It was so cute though. When I saw how short your werewolf was when you became a werewolf, but it was a riot. It was a great show. And I saw some of the greatest gaffes and you guys just went straight on, you know, like one of the stage hands would run across. Yes.
Yeah.
What if the stage hands would run across or do something like that?
Yeah.
And the funniest one was when this guy was doing the black arts and he played like a devil guy and he was your friend. He was a lawyer. And he's doing the black arts and he's looking into the fireplace. Oh, remember, it's a spooktacular, kids, and a half spooktacular with David. So he's looking into like the fire and I think there's like crackle, crackle, and he's talking to the devil and all this stuff. And then all of a sudden they push this kid's like, I don't know where to go. And this guy, he had to be a stagehand. This young kid gets shoved across. And this guy, right in front of his path, does not miss a beat. He was amazing. I mean, I would have laughed, but that's a pro. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, all the actors on that show, you know, they were New York actors.
Yeah, they were great. I loved them all.
You know, they were doing plays and this and that. And you mentioned Donna McKechnie, and of course, Donna was a great dancer.
Mm-hmm. And I know the little blondie who danced with you in Quentin's Dance and I Want to Dance, Cutie Pie, Nancy Barrett. Pippin. She was in Pippin.
Yeah, we did that song together.
Yes, that's so cute. And you never had anything to do with her, which was so funny. All of a sudden, you're dancing with her. Like, what are you dancing with her for? But that was great. I love that.
But Nancy is terrific, yeah.
She was very talented. They all. I really enjoy it, you know? And do you know that every one of Dark Shadows is on Amazon Prime? You know, because at first, when I started getting hooked into it, you hadn't come on. It was still in black and white, and it was all about Victoria somebody. Who is she? And it ended up being Constance's daughter, but we never got to find out because she left the show because she was sick of being the good, innocent, like, tortured Victoria. But Catherine was there from the get-go, but I know she left early. And what's his name? He was your really good friend.
Jonathan Frid.
And he was great because, you know, most people aren't as generous. He wanted you to come because he was working too much and he wanted someone else to come in and kind of be like a double heartthrob, you know?
Exactly. And as I've said before, and everyone knows, I mean, Jonathan and I, we got along from the very beginning and, we were good friends, very good friends.
He seemed like a very nice man. Was he quiet? A quiet guy?
Yeah. Well, yes. And he, he went to Yale. He was he was a wonderful Shakespearean actor, Canadian actor. And he was very special.
And that he became like a heartthrob to the women. And he was even in Tiger Beat. It had you, him. I think so many of the actors were in Tiger Beat. But I looked, somebody had it online. And it was you. You were shirtless. And I don't know, like, what's your favorite color? what's your sign? That kind of thing. For all of you. And
Tiger
then it was.
Beat, yeah.
And then young David Jameson was in there.
Yes.
Yes. And
well, Gloria, I've made note of that. In fact, I wrote an article or something about that was Gloria Stavers, and she's the one that was really responsible of putting Quentin's picture out there.
You, David, yes, I saw them.
And she was wonderful.
Yeah, that's so funny. I love Where Have You Been? That's really sweet. Yeah. That would have really made me like feel.
I was Marion.
Yeah, I know. But I couldn't get that out of my head. How wonderful you must have felt like floating on air. Like, yeah, that's so wonderful. And you guys, you did the movie one, right? Just to make an entrance for the one with Johnny Depp.
I hated that
movie. It didn't
do what certainly the director wanted it to do.
Tim Burton, right?
Tim Burton. Tim is a special man, and I like him. And Johnny and I got along. I mean, well, we didn't really know each other. We introduced each other, Johnny was from Kentucky and I was from West Virginia, so we both had certain things in common in that vein. But that's why when Tim, they wanted us to
come to a party or something, right?
Huh?
You all came to a party.
Yeah. That was the Dark Shadows, whatever it was, in that film. But anyway, the film did not. And in fact, there have been other attempts, but I don't know the property of Dark Shadows.
I don't know. There's supposed to be another attempt.
Either Warner Brothers still controls it, or I'm not sure. Dan's two daughters, they would know. But for all I know, Warner Brothers has control of all of that. And maybe someday there'll be another one.
They're supposed to be rebooting one on, I think, the WB network, and they're supposed to be rebooting that. They had another nighttime one starring, I think, Ben Cross was Barnabas.
Oh, yes. Dan had asked me to
Barnabas, yes. I'm thinking of Barnaby Jones. I'm getting these things confused. He's Barnabas.
No, not Barnaby Jones. Barnabas Collins. All right, they're interchangeable.
See, I am losing it here.
There you go.
So,
but
yeah.
Anyway, I'm just glad. I listen. Enough of the Dark Shadows thing, but I'm just grateful to the fans.
Well, that's why I said it's half a spooktacular.
In this day and age, where we are today, and we feel how delicate our world and what our world.
Oh my Lord, you ain't kidding.
Today, and when we think about the pandemic and what it has done. All you have to do is look on the sports or the theaters. The Broadway theaters are closed.
But New York is still tumbleweeds. It's very, it's not a lot of people. There's no tourists. Yeah. Why would they come?
And the pandemic has shut down the sporting events.
Well, fans can't go, right?
Across the way without. There are no fans in the stands. And I can't imagine. It would be like doing Dark Shadows in the old days without, there was no way, no television. But there was television, thank goodness. But you would never be able to see the fans. They would never gather outside the studio because they wouldn't be allowed. And there wouldn't be a Dark Shadows because we wouldn't have been able to gather in the studio to shoot the thing.
That's so sad.
So many things we take for granted. So I'm just grateful for all those fans. My heart goes out to everybody.
I know. And the new ones?
What's going on today.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Dark Shadows can still bring a little joy.
And it does.
A little fun. A little intrigue. Then I'm grateful to that, and I'm grateful that they can tune in and watch, and just don't forget to vote.
Please do vote early if you can, because they're having massive voter turnout.
I'm filling out my voting ballot today.
Are you sending or going? You can drop it off, right?
I'm mailing it in.
Yeah. Well, they have early voting, so I'm going to early vote. And, we must all get out there and vote. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Ever. This is the time we need.
You got it.
Anyway, it's Joan Prado. Remember, we talked to her. She wanted to know.
Who?
Joan Prado. Prado. Joan,
oh, yes.
Don't hate me.
Yes.
She,
oh,
you talked to her on the phone. Yes. She knows everything about you. She knows every show you did. She knows, like, every kissing scene you did. She knows if you drooled or not. She knows everything. So she sent you, spooktacular half. Okay. So
Joan,
she wants to know.
Person.
She is a wonderful person, and she thanked you so much because she said you made her life. She loves you that much. That's what Joan said.
God bless her.
See, Joan, we love you. Okay, so
God bless everybody.
God bless us all, because we all need it. And all my listeners and all David's listeners, we love you and thank you. And David is like Mr. Mucho Uno.
Well, listen, we'll have to do a show or one of these podcasts or whatever where it's not Dark Shadow.
Oh, we have done many.
I never got a mention of the word. I mentioned Dark Shadows out.
No, we have not. Last one, we did not talk about Dark Shadows at all. We didn't. Honestly, I think the last two, we didn't talk about it at all.
Yeah.
No, I'm just doing this because it's a spooktacular and that, you know, you guys are doing that on Halloween. But she wants to know, will you do more guest stars on TV and are you writing any more books or plays?
Well, I do, yes. I mean, it all depends on what happens with the pandemic here.
Yeah, I know. It's all iffy.
A lot of productions are shut down.
I know.
Completely shut down. So the two I finished right before, I did the Chicago Fire and I did an NCIS New Orleans.
Uh-huh. I saw both.
That was the last thing.
I know.
And then they shut me. They said, David, they're going to shut down.
And
when I got
ever
back to L.A., so that was when I got back in
March,
February, or
yeah,
somewhere in there.
Yeah.
But anyway, March 9th, I left L.A. because I was going to come up and spend that time here on the Central Coast.
I don't blame you.
My son was going to utilize the place where we stayed, our guest house, which is behind his house. It is a little place that he has a little office back there now, and he's working there from home. So everyone's
trying to adjust.
Across the land, we've all, you know, New York has made its adjustments, and every day I read in the paper about, you know, are the schools going to reopen, this or that. It all depends on everyone's lives to a certain extent.
Right.
I've been on not necessarily, well, they have. They've been on hold. And I just want everyone to take care of themselves and their loved ones.
Yes.
God bless.
Yes.
You know.
And try to enjoy, you know, our times, you know, even though we don't, there's things to do anyway.
Yeah. And if there's a certain thing that they do want to talk about, or they'll let you know or whatever. And I'll, you know, I feel, as I said, very blessed. So I'll gladly do another podcast.
But I want to ask you, I want you to be here for me, because right now I have a spooktacular giveaway. I have 5 episodes of Psycho. These are the unedited, never seen, uncut version of Psycho. So 5.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, I got these. It's from the Alfred Hitchcock Classics Collection. It is available NOW on 4K Ultra HD Combo Pack with a Blu-ray and digital code, Wowee, from Universal Pictures Home Entertainment, and it includes these groovy movies, Vertigo. Psycho, of course. The Birds.
Psycho is wonderful.
It is.
It's wonderfully psycho.
I can't wait to see the uncut version. I have it. I haven't watched it yet. Vertigo, Psycho, The Birds, which I love, with Tippi Hedren, and Rod Taylor, who I love. I thought he was really handsome. And then Rear Window with Grace Kelly and Jimmy Stewart. And along with that, they have this collectible disc copy holder. And they have screen tests. They have tons of interviews, documentaries, the whole nine yards, you guys. It is a wonderful, wonderful
are those all being streamed? Is that it?
No, this is a box set, and it has like hours worth of DVDs of actors, their screen tests, interviews, documentaries on Hitchcock, et cetera. That's what, you know, the bonus extras you get with DVDs, but you get the four. They are, you know, super duper deluxe. And anyway, you guys get five thanks to Universal Studios Home Entertainment. And this is a question you must answer. You ready? You must answer. Kim Novak was not Alfred Hitchcock's first choice for Vertigo to play Madeline slash Judy. What is the name of the actress that was his first choice?
David Selby.
I'm going on and where'd you go? David's gone. David, you're gone. Where'd you go?
I lost you. I don't know what happened.
Okay, I'm just going to finish the question. The question is, for the first five people who can answer it, who, Kim Novak was not Alfred Hitchcock's first choice to play Madeline slash Judy in Vertigo. Who was Alfred Hitchcock's first choice to play her? Which actress? What's her name? And for the first five who go to my facebook.com/truestoriesoftinseltown, go and PM me the first five that get the answer correct. I have them with me. I can send them right out to you. And that is courtesy of Universal Studios Home Entertainment. So get your thinking caps on or Google it. And the first five who do, it's great. So, David, tell me, you are still doing things with the Booth Theater, correct?
For what theater?
The Booth Theater.
The Booth? I'm not.
No, what's the one in Washington? What's the one in Washington?
Oh, Ford's Theater.
Booth is the guy who killed Lincoln.
Not the Booth Theater.
Excuse me. I told you this is a spooktacular.
Right.
Gory.
Ford's Theater. Yes, yes. John Wilkes Booth was the villain of the theater.
Yes, I'm so sorry. My mind, I didn't
actually,
get any sleep.
You could go on to Ford's website, Ford's Theater website, and for the next month or so, they're going to be playing what happened after Lincoln was assassinated. What happened to Ford's Theater? And you can trace it through. You can trace Lincoln's steps through Washington, the walks he took.
How cool.
The places he frequented. All of those will be on Ford's website. They're doing these special programs for the next, they do them all the time. Mm-hmm. But the next month, they have some very special ones.
Are you going to be doing them?
Repeat them.
Are you going to be doing one of those again?
No, not these.
Yeah.
No. But I'm such a fan of the theater and the history. And
you played Abe Lincoln when you were a kid. I got to ask you, because I've never asked you, what it feels like when you play Abraham Lincoln. You're in the outfit. You're in the costume. You got the hat, the beard, the whole thing. And I know you were by the Lincoln Memorial doing something, weren't you?
Yes, yes.
How does that feel?
The White House Historical Society, but you know, you just feel very you go back in time and you think about when the memorial was built
and what it means,
and standing there in front of it, looking out over the memorial across the water
and playing this great man, that giant great man.
Yes, up to the monument, mm-hmm. Washington Monument, on up to the Capitol. Which I believe was finished during Lincoln's time, at that time. It's Washington, D.C. is a very, very special
town. I love it.
Town.
Yes.
It's absolutely wonderful. You can walk on the mall. You visit all the museums there like that. Anyway, it's a special town, and Ford's Theater has a special place, of course, in the town for its history and everything. I love it. Wonderful.
My niece was interning in Washington, and her mom and I would go visit. We drove her there, and we just stayed a couple extra days. I've been there before, but it's just, I really think you really kind of get, it's so huge to think of our history and everything behind that. And there's a Smithsonian you can go to, which has so many cool things. And I really love Washington. And it can give you, it can give you a little, you know, it's just, you see, you know, I know people, the Vietnam Memorial, I cried the first time I saw that. That was just, it's just so devastating. You just see all of these things.
And it's
all the poor men. Yeah. And it's just amazing. All of it. And I don't know. I was going to ask you, but it is a wonderful.
It's like New York.
Huh?
Like New York City. It's like New York City. You know, I lived for a long time on 74th Street, West 74th Street, and I could walk
to the studio.
You know, walk over to the park. I could walk to the Metropolitan.
Wasn't that wonderful?
All the museums there, the History Museum.
Lincoln Center.
The Lincoln Center is down the street. The History Museum was up, and the Lincoln Center was down the way.
And just the feel of it.
53rd Street to my studio where I was shooting at that time. But years later, still living in New York. And
doing your plays.
Doing so many things. And then visiting the 9/11 monument. And what happened on that?
You know, David, I've never gone down there. It's just too much for me.
Yeah, it's very difficult.
Because I was there, you know, on my terrace. You know, I just kind of, I haven't been in New York that long, and I was married, and I was on my terrace, and it was one of the most beautiful. I'll never forget how blue the sky was, and I was just on my terrace, and it's so cool and nice, and I said, well, fall is coming. And then I see on TV and I think, oh my God. And then I think it's a repeat, but it wasn't. I watched in real time the plane go into the building, and it was just unbelievable.
Yeah.
And it took a couple days, but you could get the smell up where I lived. I lived on 57th Street, West 57th. But no, I've never been able to go down there to see it.
No, it is difficult. But, anyway,
it's history. And you, my dear, you know what I wanted to ask you? I always wanted to ask, where did Chip get the nickname Chip? Remember I called her Chuck? Her name's Chip.
Chip. Chip off the old block.
Is that?
Yeah, from her father.
Oh, you know. Her dad called her Chip.
Well, her family.
Yeah, her family called her Chip, so.
I'm not exact, but that would be it.
Oh, so that's a simple thing. That was like her nickname.
Yeah, exactly.
I think she's great. I love her, and I don't even know her because I would be so jealous, you know, that young age. I would love to meet Chip, and I would love to ask her how she did it.
I have to bring this to a close.
Okay, my dear.
I've got a thing. I've got another program.
You popular boy. Oh, I just want to say.
Well, no. This is a program that I have to read now talk to her way that an actress, dear actress, wrote, Susan Sullivan.
I love her.
Yeah, and she's written this piece, and I know it's going to be nice. It's a short piece, but we want to see how we can do it. I haven't read it yet, so that's what I have to do. And then I have to get into this and have a conversation with her.
Oh, ask her if she wants to come on. I love her.
Uh-huh.
And Laura, do you feel, I'm not using you, you know. We've been friends for 3 years.
Yeah. All right.
And say hi to Lana Wood. She loves you.
Ah, God bless.
Yes.
All right.
Okay, bye, sweetie.
Okay.
Love you, David. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, everybody, I just want to tell you one more time that you can Get Psycho, the uncut version. That's David hanging up. The uncut version, never seen, never released before. I have five of them. They sent them to me. I've got them. And you can, if the first five people who answer this question, Kim Novak was not the first choice to play Madeline/Judy in Vertigo. Who was the actress Alfred Hitchcock wanted? Who was his first choice? And like I said, just Google it. You'll find out. But the first five, you will get it. And thank you so much. And this is what you do. Go to, I'll have it written down when I post this, but go to facebook.com/TrueStoriesOfTinseltown. And of course, you can PM me, the True Stories of Tinseltown PM. And the first five of the question answered, I will get that out to you ASAP. And you'll have it before Halloween for your own spooktacular. Thank you, Universal Home Studios. Entertainment. Thanks, guys. And thank you, Kat. Bye, everybody. Talk to you soon. Bye.